Okay, well, I'd like to welcome all of you to our first conference call for 2023. I can't believe it's 2023 already. This is EF 102, which is proposal writing, which most people dread, but it's actually, it should be a fun learning event, and it's very practical. If you have a project that you want money for, this is the right learning event for you to be in, because by the end you'll have a draft proposal and you'll have help writing it, which is something that's pretty amazing, because sometimes we feel very alone when we're writing proposals or funding applications. So this should be a good one for you. And I can see that everybody is in on my call, but Stephanie is sort of popping in and out. So that tells me that probably her internet isn't working so great. So if you do get dropped or anything, I did send a message with the phone number. You can always just join by the phone and it will join you back to where we all are as well. So does anyone want me to pop that in the chat just in case, or did you all get the message from me about just under an hour ago? Okay, I see lots of heads nodding, so that's great. Okay, so let's get going then. As I mentioned, the proposal writing, it introduces the process of preparing and writing a successful proposal. And as you know, strong proposals are really important for your community-driven project programs and events. So we're going to start with, this is a 4-week-long learning event rather than some of our learning events, which are only 2. And so in this one, we're going to start with understanding what funders look for in proposals and funding applications. Then we're going to work through the steps that are involved in planning and preparing a proposal for a project or an event. And you will, throughout this process, draft a well-written proposal. It won't be your final one, but it'll be a good draft that you can then take and use for a project. So I'd encourage you to try and come up with an idea that's not too complicated. I've had people try and tackle sort of massive things that are worth $100,000, and that's a lot of work in a 4-week time frame. So it's great if you think about a smaller project that you might be able to do and apply for. I'm just going to text Stephanie the phone number because she just said she can't connect via video. So give me 2 seconds. Actually, while we're doing that, let's do a round of introductions. And let's start with Peter and Roger because you guys joined first. So P comes before R. So Peter, if you'd like to introduce yourself, there's new people on the call. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background and where you're at. And then we'll go to Roger after Peter, and I'll just send Stephanie the information. Go ahead, Peter.
Hello, my name's Peter Jacob. I live in Whitehorse, born and raised Whitehorse, and I am the active living coordinator for the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon, or ARPA, as many of us call it. I have a bit of education in kinesiology that I did down in Victoria, and I've been working with ARPA since October. I'm just here while one of the other staff is on maternity leave for the next 12 or 14 months.
That's great. Thanks, Peter. Over to you, Roger.
Hi there. My name is Roger. I'm the recreation training coordinator. I'm also with ARPA. I've been involved in recreation for 20-ish years, 7 in Yukon. I'm taking this specifically because I'm in my instructor development stage, so eventually I will be helping to facilitate some of the learning events with RecNorth, so I'm just getting a bit more education on how the management ones work, especially with the video and all the other things that kind of come with this. So really looking forward to seeing how it works and seeing how the group works.
Thanks, Roger. Stephanie, can you hear us now? It looks like you've joined. I'm just I'm hoping that you can hear us okay, Stephanie. Okay, let's go around. So we'll stick with Whitehorse then. So Deanne, you're next in Whitehorse, and then over to Anne. And then David.
Hey everyone, my name is Gyanen Singh. You can call me Gyan or just G, whatever works. Right now, I'm here in Whitehorse for the last 2 years. I can January 2021. Yeah, right now I'm working as a squash coach in the Squash Econ. I have done my master's in the physical education, and I'm qualified level 3 squash coach in Canada here.
Awesome. Well, welcome. We're really glad you could join us. It'll be great for you to make a few connections, not only in the Yukon, but also in the NWT as well. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go over to Anne and then David, and then we'll move beyond Whitehorse.
Hi, my name's Anne Morgan, and I work with both Peter and Roger at the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon. And my background's in rural community recreation, really. I worked in lots of small communities as a recreation director, and then I'm super happy to have been with ARPE for the last 20 years or so, supports folks in communities. So it's great working with Roger and Peter and Caroline. Caroline works with us as well. So it's great to be here today.
Thanks, Anne. And over to you, David.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I hope everybody had a great holiday season. Wasn't too cold, then it warmed up, you know, that kind of thing. I just got to say I'm excited to be here and see everybody again. I, of course, am the program coordinator here at Elder Active, and this is one of the programs modules that I'm really hoping to get a lot out of. So, you know, it's a, from my perspective, a cornerstone of how we move forward. So, great. Thank you.
That's great. Well, welcome back, David. So, nice to see you again. Happy New Year. Let's move outside of Whitehorse. We'll go to Isabel and Kate, and then we'll go to Spider and Stephanie and NWT. So, Isabel, if you'd like to introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Good morning, everyone. I am Isabel. I'm wearing a few hats, but let's just say that today I'm calling from the traditional territory, Dakwakada, Champagne-Ajax First Nation, Haines Junction. I'm really trying to take a big role that the community kind of, you know, build around me as a recreation champion out here. We really need some help to build some kind of, I want to say, and maybe a municipality department, I would hope so. So I'm here 4 years. I want to absorb all the knowledge. This is funny that, you know, this is the first course that I'm doing as I am really deep in the summer Canada job application right now. So this is very timely. That's going to get my brain going. So happy to be here. Welcome, everyone.
That's great. Thanks for joining us, Isabel. And up to Dawson City.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kayla. Happy New Year. It was so warm. Oh, my gosh. I had a great time. I'm kidding. It was minus 58.
yeah, stuff.
Run Climb Higher Initiative, which is a pole dancing program, and have actually applied for a lot of funding through ARPE. Yay, ARPE, thanks, Anne, thanks Roger, thanks Peter. And so I'm excited to just, you know, see, brush up and diversify my skills and get better at grant writing so I can write those really, really big ones.
That's great. Well, welcome. It's wonderful that you can join us, and once that video is ready, we'll share it with everybody. So. Thanks. Okay, let's go over to NWT. Spider, we'll start with you and then go to Stephanie.
Good morning, I'm Spider Jones. I work at Sport North Federation. I do special projects for Sport North. Also contracted executive director services for NWT Amateur Wrestling and Athletics NWT. On the volunteer side, I volunteer on the board for NWT Tennis and Badminton. I'm the president of NWT Squash, also involved with their Sunday Junior program and travel around and run their, to the coach development, coach training for the NWT, on the squash side. Excited to be back to do the proposal writing. I've got lots more I need to write, and this is a great refresher for me.
Right before Arctic Winter Games and Canada Winter Games, eh? Lucky you. It's a busy time for sport coming up. Well, welcome back, Spider. Thank you. And over to you, Stephanie.
Good morning. How is everybody today? I hope everybody is doing well. My name is Stephanie Cotilla. I am in the Hamlet of Enterprise, Northwest Territories. I am the Wellness and Recreation Coordinator in our community. I am also a member of the Fire Department and on the board of Enterprise Education Working Group. Hopefully we can get a school here one day soon. And I'm a mom of three. And I've been here for about 12 years. Thank you.
That's great. Well, welcome back. Stephanie finished her certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership, I think in October it would have been, or the end of September. So it's great to have Stephanie joining us for her next part of her journey. And I'm always fascinated to hear about enterprise. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephanie, but your population is around 100, and you're, is it 45 minutes from Hay River about, or an hour drive from Hay River?
Approximately 37 minutes.
37 minutes with no traffic or no animals on the road.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, thanks, everybody. So what we do on our conference calls then, for those of you who are new, is we cover some of the content for the week, but we also have conversations. And I really believe that the conversations are the best learning opportunity, because it gives you a chance to share your knowledge and your experience, but also hear from others, which is way more valuable than just hearing from me. So it's great that everybody's able to join the call today. I do have a series of questions that we'll go around in our circle with, but before we do that, I just wanted to touch on a little bit of the content for this week. So if you've looked at the slides or the presentation slides that are part of the learning event itself, then you'll have seen some of this. But if not, I'll just touch on some of the key points, and then we'll do a round circle for the rest of the call for conversation. So this week we focus on funding. So we focus on what, trying to understand what funders are looking for in proposals and applications. Because you can have the best ideas in the world, but if they don't match with what the funders think, then they're not going to get funded. So it's really important to flip our hat around and understand what the expectation is from the other side. Our Recreation North training program is made possible because we were laureates, or we were successful at winning the Arctic Inspiration Prize, $600,000, which is amazing, back in 2015, and just so fortunate. And you know, there's a lot, they're an awesome funder, but they look for very specific things in a specific way. So you know, even having a great project, if it's not written or planned in the way that they're looking for it or aligned with their expectations, it's hard to make their shortlist and then be awarded the prize. So this is a really important week to understand and to start with. So as most of you will probably know, we have different funding sources from different sectors that support recreation and sport and physical activity across the North. So we're very fortunate in the North to have great sources from our territorial governments. There are also sometimes local government fundings, like through recreation boards and through municipalities. But that's usually money that's come from the territorial government into the municipality. We also have pretty good access to federal dollars, like the Government of Canada, the Public Health Agency of Canada, those sorts of things, Canadian Heritage, which funds sport. So there's often opportunities through the different levels of government for funding. Unfortunately, at least in my experience, government applications, proposals, and grants, to get those, it takes a lot of paperwork sometimes. Don't tell anyone I said that, but I think that it can be very onerous sometimes, the expectations, especially the federal funding level. So we are lucky. We also have private businesses and corporations like Northwest Tel, Canadian Tire, and they're really big supporters of recreation across the North, and always good to consider for extra sources of money. There's other businesses like Mountain Equipment Co-op that Roger, I know, successfully got some community funding for a few years back. So it's great to sort of keep your eyes and ears open for different things, especially if you have a number of different projects that you want to work on. We also have foundations and the nonprofit sector. So ARPE is a source of funding for Kayla's program, which is pole dancing. So, you know, and a lot of the nonprofits either generate their money through donations, like foundations and charities, or might get it from other government sources. Anne has posted about Participation, that's a national organization, and they've just released some funding too. So lots of different places to look for money. And I think it's really helpful when you're thinking of looking for funders not to look in one place only, but to broaden your search. So let's review a couple of the key concepts for proposal writing. So I want you to think about proposal writing as a special type of planning. And if we think about it that way, we all do planning on a day-to-day basis. So if you think about proposal writing as planning, it might be easier to tackle. To ensure that you have quality programs in the same way that you you want to make sure you follow a series of steps. So to make sure your proposal is good quality, you follow steps, just the same way you follow some steps for delivering good programs. Proposal writing generally falls into that planning phase of our recreation programming cycle. So keep in mind that proposals are one way to get resources for things that you want to do. Funding through proposals and grant applications are often for one-time activities, not for your ongoing things, although that's changing a little bit. So another thing that's important to understand is that a proposal is similar to, but not the same thing as a grant application. A proposal is a written document that requests funding for a planned project. A grant is the sum of money that is administered through the agreement. So if you're successful with your program, or your proposal for your program, then you should be getting a grant and an agreement around that grant. So I'd like to take a little bit of time to explore some of the funders that you're familiar with, at least one that might have come to mind. And then I have a series of questions. I will use the chat, but I'll also pop them back in. So let's start with the question, what is a funding source that supports recreation in your community? So I'd like to invite you to introduce one in about 30 seconds, just so we have enough time to go around our circle and through all our questions. So here, I'll pop it in the chat and then I'll repeat myself. Here we go. Oh. The font looks a little funny, but it should work. There we go. Oh, no, it turns out okay. So Peter asked a question. When people say they are writing grants, that's not technically correct. Anyone care to answer? How would you answer Peter's sort of question statement? Just put your hand up or jump in if you think you have a way of answering that. David, go ahead.
Well, a grant is something where the money is predisposed, where you have a research project or some form of project that the grant needs to satisfy, i.e. you want to count X number of butterflies, right? It's more geared towards that, where a proposal is where there's a pool of money and what you're trying to do is satisfy an activity. You're trying to satisfy a community need for those funds. So grants are more geared towards a project that they have in mind as opposed to a project you have in mind.
Yeah, and I also think of a grant as the thing that you receive after you've written your proposal or after you've filled out your application. So I think that you're right in saying it's a bit more specific. So somebody who asks for an application, a grant application or a funding application, the Real Leader program that ARPE offers is an example of probably that type of thing. It's fairly specific and well-bounded, and people will apply for that funding. So the funding is a grant. A grant is something that is granted or given to you, right, to use for a specific purpose. You can write an application for a grant, and you can also write a proposal. And I think what David's also saying, Peter, is that a proposal tends to be a lot broader sometimes than a grant application, although not always. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And then is sponsorship different from a proposal? So sponsorship, that's a good question. Sponsorship is sponsorship, unless it's cash, I think of it as an in-kind type of contribution. You might have to write a proposal to get sponsored. So you might be writing a proposal to Northwest Tel or to Canadian Tire or to your local sports store to request their sponsorship, and then it might be a smaller proposal. Does that make sense, Jan? Yeah? Great. Okay, so let's go around and let's see if we can, I'm going to start with the same order, and then Peter, I won't put you on the spot in the next round of questions. So I'm just going to ask you to share one funding source that supports recreation in your community in 30 seconds or less.
Can I plug the really plug? Okay. So I think I'll show the other program supports recreation and healthy eating in our community and active living, sorry, and we get up our funding from the Sport and Rec branch as well as the Health Promotion Unit, and we empower leaders in our communities to run programs. Ideally, people in smaller communities, or if it's in Whitehorse, it's usually people who have a barrier to recreation. Yeah, Jack Hill is a real leader.
Awesome, thanks. So the Real Leader Program is a funding source through ARPE, which is a nonprofit in the Yukon Territory, not in NWT. In NWT, NWT Recreation and Parks Association has some of their own funding sources too. So thanks for sharing that, Peter. Roger, do you have another one that you'd like to share that supports recreation in the Yukon?
Yeah, Community Development Fund. So they've funded things for infrastructure. They typically do larger amounts. So one-off, and their big thing is making sure that it's going to have good community impact and also hopefully provide employment in the moment. But they're a great source of funding.
That's great. Thank you. And don't they have a deadline coming up too?
They do January 15th, and I'm not sure if that's for the large amount or for the medium large amount.
Okay. Thank you. And then next on my list, Deanne, do you know a source that supports recreation in your community or sports?
In squash, we get supported through, like, we do get sponsors for the, so we do run league matches, and we have a code sponsors, so that's our big chunk of money comes from. And then from last 2 years, we've been applying for the Lottery Yukon Fund, that's the Opportunity Fund and the Project Fund. And I know we get funding from YREC also. I don't know the numbers, but yes, we get funding. And then we do, like, get funding from services we provide, organizing tournaments, sessions and all. Yeah.
Yeah, so Lottery Yukon is an example of one. Corporate sponsorship is another example. And YRAC, for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that's the Yukon Recreation Advisory Committee. And for Spider and Stephanie, that's similar to sport or TSRO funding that would go out through NACA. So in NWT, the municipal, what does NACA stand for again, Spider? Municipal and Community Affairs, I think it is. So the Sport and Rec branch is underneath that, and they're the ones who now give out the core funding to sport governing bodies. Is that correct, Spider?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
they get their technically, the contribution agreement is with between the Territory Sport Organization and NWT Nunavut Lottery.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. And so it's a little convoluted. Let's see what other funding sources we have that support recreation, and then I'll explain to you why it's important to understand sort of this funding concept or the context that we work in. So over to Anne, and then David, then Isabel, then Kayla, then Spider, then Stephanie, and next time round I'll start the circle in the middle. So Anne, do you have another funding source that supports recreation in the territory? It can be a national one too. It doesn't have to be territorial or local.
Yeah, there's a national one I wanted to share with the group actually through actually Sport Canada, which is national. FEDMA has funded a number of organizations across the country, a number of NAF organizations to deliver grants across the country. So they funded groups like the Canadian Parks and Recreation, Physical Health Education Canada, Women, I forgot what the new name, the club organization, I think it's Women in Sport maybe now.
Canadian Women in Sport.
Action. Yeah, thank you. And, yeah, so they
gave me... Gender equality, something fun.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, so they've given funding out to each of these new organizations who in turn have funded organizations through to do work on physical activity, sport for underserved populations. So the most recent one is out right now that participation. So you can apply for a community action grant participation for up to $5,000. And so you have to have, the deadline is February, it's either first or February 10th, I can't remember. It's a pretty simple application, and it's for typically for physical activity and sport that engages underserved populations, and they have quite a long list of what would qualify as an underserved population. But for example, like Eldersett, and people in low income would fit. So those types of groups. So. Anyway, I don't know if I answered the question. I was kind of on about the funding, but.
That's great. You set my mind off in a slightly different direction because I just got a thing from Sport Canada. So they've just released Stream 2 of the Sport for Social Development in Indigenous Communities program. So those of you who are involved in sport, I'll just pop the link for that one in before I forget. But, oh no, it's not giving me the link. But anyways, you can Google or you can. Oops. Wrong button. There we go. There it is right there if you're interested in that one. So, and if you have the participation one handy and you can pop the link in the chat, that would be great too. Thank you. Okay, over to you, David. Is there another source of funding or a funder that you find supports recreation, especially with your organization?
I just lost you guys on the screen. I hope I'm not muted. Can you hear me okay?
I can totally hear you. Okay. We're somewhere there.
I would love to say we have this and we have that and whatnot, but I haven't been given that information. However, there are a number of organizations that I'm hearing about that I would like to investigate. One of the one that crossed my desk a couple of times last week is called New Horizons.
Yep.
Okay. And this is more in Alex's domain. So like I said, I'm not getting that information. I believe he attended a meeting with that a week and a half ago or so on a how-to. They were doing a Zoom. And so I would have liked to have been part of that. The one that, Alex mentioned, and maybe either Peter or Roger can help me out here. Winter Activity for Life, you know, Fran, she gave a presentation for equipment and stuff, right? I'd very much like to be able to get to her. It's not necessarily for funding, but at the same time, it helps in terms of overall operations. So I wish I could give more, but that's where I'm at.
Well, New Horizons is a good one to mention, so that would be a good one for you to look into. It usually has a fairly complicated proposal process, but it can be fairly comprehensive in what it covers. So thank you for mentioning that. Let's go over to Isabel. Isabel, is there a funding source that you're familiar with that supports recreation that hasn't been mentioned? And feel free to tell us if you know, you can't come up with another one, because there's a lot of UConn people on the call.
Well, most of the ones that I've been using have been mentioned already. New Horizon, I'm familiar with that. The Lottery Grant, I'm familiar with that. But one that is really specific to working on Indigenous communities is Jordan's Principle. They support a lot of amazing projects, so that will be one that I'd like to mention. Another one that supports recreation that is more for us at BGC Yukon, but we have support from BGC Canada, which is a national organization that does provide funding, but that's only attached to Earth Love, unfortunately. But yeah, so far that's all. Crime prevention is another one that we've used in the past. Territorial opportunity. They're super nice. What I like with crime prevention is they help you. They have the money and they want to give it to you. So even if you're not so familiar or confident with your proposal writing skills, I've learned a lot with them. I've worked with Ashley there, and she is super supportive in helping you really understand what they want to hear about. So a great team to work with, crime prevention.
Great, thank you. And Kayla, that was crime prevention. So it's interesting, because I'll be interested to hear what Spider and Stephanie say, because you'll see when we get to there, sometimes the structure in the different territories can be a little bit different as to how the funding is set up. So although there's some similar streams and threads. So Kayla, is there one that hasn't been mentioned that you're aware of that supports recreation?
I think it's really interesting, you know, and this came up when we were doing the interview for the documentary, and I was asked what's recreation, and we always associate recreation with, like, sport, when it can be a little bit more encompassing, because it's what we do with our spare time to keep ourselves sane, and as well. And so I've actually been able to take that sort of hat and put it on in other format. So it's like I just applied for training in with the Cultural Industries Tourism Fund opportunity to become a pole dancing instructor through the lens of that it's actually helping the cultural labor force, because pole is dance, self-expressive, but physical. So, you know, and again, that just is the sort of point that you were making in the beginning, which is just how you word, what you're presenting, how you can sort of like make the hat look different, right?
That's great. And so, yeah, definitely understanding those different perspectives and where you can come in. If it's not working from one angle, what angle might work? So great. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go to NWT for Spider first and then Stephanie after. And if you'd like to share a funding source that supports sport or recreation in your community or territory, but I'd also like to hear from Spider and Stephanie if you think that there's a difference between what you've heard from the Yukon to the way the structure of recreation and sport funding is set up in your territory, because I think that that's interesting to understand. So over to you, Spider. You can have more than 30 seconds.
Okay. So if I look at funding MACA, Municipal and Community Affairs, with the with lotteries, provides money to its FAR partners, Aboriginal Sports Circle, Sport North, NWT Rec and Parks, and Mackenzie Rec Association. And then they may take some of that money and offer grants to or programming money to individuals. So, for example, in Sport North, we have they take a part of that money and have Rising Star funding to assist with costs associated with training and competing in people's chosen sports. They also have, that's the High Performance Athlete Grant. Rising Star money gives financial assistance to participate in summer camps. I know that NWC Rec and Parks takes a bunch of their money that they get from lotteries and puts it in their Get Active program to give, I think it's $400 to $1,000 to groups that are running triads, say, for example, triad events, which is cool. We often get approached by groups looking for money, but apart from select programs that we offer by way of grants, then we don't have anything to offer them because it goes into the operations of the respective SPAR partner. But it's useful then for us to, once we learn of other grant monies like from Participaction or Crime Prevention, thank you very much, or anything that's happening with Sport Canada, or say, for example, Squash Canada has a diversity, equity, inclusion pot of money that they're putting out to member clubs. The territorial provincial sport associations can't, squash associations can't apply for it, but if you're a club, you can apply. And most recently, we brought up a pro by the name of Melina Turk to run women's programming. She just finished this past weekend. So there are some interesting ways, but there's, it's being in the know, right?
Exactly. It's what you know, right? And having access to that takes a long time to understand the system. So thank you, Spider. Stephanie, over to you. You're in a, I think you shifted into a wellness position from purely recreation. So I'm wondering if there's other funding that you're aware of that supports the work that you do, something a little different maybe than what everyone else has mentioned?
This section of my job, I am working with the Hamlet office, and I'm just familiarizing myself with some parts of funding when it comes to the wellness area. But I am having fun with it, and I'm working around many flexible people in different departments. And one of the main goals that I have this year is to improve networking and communications with the town of Hay River with all the programs that they have. And I'm hoping that we can utilize a lot of their facilities and programming, and we can have inclusion in what they're doing in Hay River. And I would like to, I'm actually working on my class 4 so I can operate the community or the Hamlet band, so I can start bringing participants from our community to Hay River in order to participate in what they have over there, and hopefully we can have more participation or participation from them to come to the Enterprise. To so I'm, like I said, I'm still quite new to this, and I'm hoping I get a lot better at it.
That's great. Kayla, you got a question? I see your hand waving.
No, I don't have a question. I actually have something. So I remember I proposed this to Roger like years ago, and it was just like, I don't think it applied for what, but it might be helpful to others because I was really sad I couldn't go after it. But it's Lululemon has a Here to Be, and they award like quite a bit of money. And so that is one, I'll just post the link here because it might be, I think you have to be like a nonprofit or something, like an organization that's like registered or whatever to do that. So I am not that. You can have it.
Great.
That's all.
And Roger, maybe while we're in there, you could also post the Mountain Equipment one because that you used that quite successfully as well too. And it was a little different format. So, and I'll add those into the Explore More section. So that's great. You can see, on one hand, it's great because there's a lot of different types of opportunities to fund the different initiatives you have going on, whether it's projects, ongoing programs, or special events. But on the other hand, I think it can be a little overwhelming sometimes. It takes time to really get to know your system, to get to know what's available, to get to know what works for you and things like that. So this is a really great opportunity for you to share things like what Kayla just shared. So feel free in our learning event to anything that comes to mind, share it, and I'll add them in there for people in the future as well. So thank you for bringing that up. Okay, we've got about 15 minutes left, so I have three questions still that I wanted to chat about. So this time we're going to do a round, and I'm going to ask you to just keep your answers fairly short, so in 10 seconds or less. And the first question is for you, and we're going to start in the middle. I'm going to put, I'm going to put you on the spot, and we're going to start with you in the circle this time. Okay, and then we'll go around our circle. So the question is, what do funders expect when you submit a request for money? One thing only, so you don't take everybody else's answers, and in 10 seconds or less. Over to you, Anne.
I think they want you to meet their goals and objectives.
Okay, so they're looking for you to make them look good in a way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a good way of putting it. Thank you. Okay, after Anne, we've got David in our circle. David, what is one thing, and I see David's new, not sure. Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yeah. No. Anne, you just took all the wind out of the sail, but that you are working hard and show them the resources to be able to meet those goals and objectives.
Awesome. Thank you. And maybe after you've answered, can you pop your answer in the chat just so that we can keep track of that too? That would be great. So Anne, if you can pop it in. Stephanie, I'm working in the other chat as well. Roger and I are in both chats, so you can, you might not see everybody's answers, but I'll share them with you afterwards. Okay, so after David is Isabel. Isabel, in 10 seconds or less, what is one thing that funders expect when you submit a request for money?
I want to say they want to know how is this going to be successful. Like it's all the same. It's the goals, it's the objective, and the jargon I like to use is you need to learn their song and play it on the same note of like what they want to hear, basically. How is this going to change? And Jordan Principle taught me the word that they want is uniqueness. So I think that also applies to a lot of other funders. Is how is this unique and how is this going to be successful?
Yeah, and that sometimes presents a challenge because when they're always asking for unique things, it means that sometimes things that are successful don't get funded a second time. So big challenge there that we often face in our field with funders. But thanks for sharing that, Isabel. I'll let you pop that in the chat. Kayla, over to you. What is one thing that you think funders submit that hasn't been already mentioned or funders expect when you submit a request?
A budget.
Yay! Simple, two words. A budget.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I would add the word realistic.
Yeah. Does it have to be, though? It doesn't always have to be. Sometimes you can go well above, and then, you know, you'll get the money anyways, and you'll be like, well, sit. Now what?
Yeah, I guess sometimes you can, but having reviewed a number of requests for funding, you can often tell when it's not quite realistic.
Oh, this is true. This is true. Realistically hopeful, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, you can pop that in the chat, then. That would be great. Spider, in your experience, what is one thing that hasn't been mentioned that funders will expect when you submit a request?
Letters of support noting potential impact.
Yeah. Okay, so not just the output, as in what you might produce or do, but the actual impact on the people that you're doing the project with. So whether that's a behavior change or whatever it happens to be, right?
So for example, last year we got some money from Government of the Northwest Territories with their Healthy Choices funding for equipment. So we wanted to get the 3 sets of wrestling mats in remote communities. That was straightforward, but they want to know what's the impact. And so now I need to report on, you know, they did give us the money. And we did get it in play. We have developed some programming. It's now then I need to report on how the impact of that investment in equipment was came to fruition.
And hold that thought because RP102, Evaluation and Recreation, is a learning event after this one, and that's exactly what we look at. So, excellent. Thank you. Okay, over to you, Stephanie. In your experience from having written or submitted requests for funding. What do you think funders expect? Is there something that hasn't already been mentioned?
I think everybody pretty much covered all the my notes. I would say, well, because Enterprise is such a tiny place, it's not mentioned a lot. And I just found that usually negativity is what other people, communities have noticed about the size of the community. Like, for instance, there is no school here, and that is why I'm on the Enterprise Education Working Group. We're trying to get a school here in order to have more families settle in here, and hopefully we can expand from there. But otherwise, I think everybody has covered it.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. Peter, over to you. Is there anything else that you would add to the list of things that funders might expect?
Well, I've never really written a proposal, but I would expect that they want you to use their language. And similar to academic writing or applying to, like, a government job, they just want to really know that you have read thoroughly the documents. And part of that is just using the exact same words that they threw at you.
Yeah. Good point. And not using acronyms or things that they won't understand. And I would add well-written, not necessarily super academic, but plain language. Like,
yeah.
not superfluous, that's a big word, but it means too many words. So we don't want a proposal to be superfluous. So, thank you. Roger, any other ideas about what a funder might look for in your proposal or application?
Yeah, depending on the fund, they might want to see financial statements proving that you have clean accountability or clean financial practices, or they might need to know if you're an actual nonprofit. So sometimes it's the specific thing for the fund.
Yeah, so the specific proof of eligibility or your ability to carry it out. So thanks. And Deanne, not to leave you till the very end of our circle this time, but is there anything you think anyone hasn't mentioned that funders look for when you run for money?
I think recognition, promotion, footfall. So that is important. They want to exchange something, right? Give and take thing. So definitely they want to go out, flash out, right? That is the recognition they were looking for. That's what I can think of. So.
Yeah, and that's especially important with corporate funders, right? Like Northwest Cal, we're great because we do all this sort of stuff in the community. So those types of things are really important. The other thing that I popped down in my notes is they might want a community profile, and I thought of that based on what Stephanie said, so a profile of what your community looks like, or an organizational profile, and Roger, you kind of alluded to the organizational history piece, right? So there's lots of different things, so we will explore that more, but it's really important to know what your funders expect. So here's my next question for you, and again, in 10 seconds or less, one thing. And this time round, we're going to start with Spider. So Spider, I'm going to put you on the spot with this question, so I'll pop it in the chat. What do funders expect once you've received the money from them? So 10 seconds or less, what are funders looking for once they've given you money or approved or you've entered into an agreement with them?
Well, I think they want everything that's in. Often they come with a contribution agreement. So whether it be acknowledgement of receipt, that an update of where you are with, say, for us, it was we did get the mats, and then in turn how the wrestling mats are in play. They may want to know
just one thing, so everybody else can share. Sorry to cut you off there. I can see the wheels turning because you're very familiar with this. So thanks, Spider. If you can pop one of those answers in the chat, that would be great. Stephanie, what do you think is one thing that funders will expect once they've given you or approved your project and approved the money?
I would say inclusion of participants. When it comes to spectators or anyone who is part of the event, entertainers, access to the event activity. So I think they want numbers. They want to have the bigger the better kind of thing.
That's great, yeah. So they want to see that you're having an impact on multiple people, not just one or two people, and that's the range that they're your target, right, what you're looking for. So thank you, Stephanie. And then we come back to our circle, we'll go to Peter. Peter, is there something else you think funders expect once you receive that funding?
I would say, like, some sort of proof of impact, like how the funds actually made a difference in the community or in the demographic that you're targeting.
Yeah, so, and that's leading into my next question. So maybe I'll pop both these questions in and you can answer one or the other. So my other question is, what do they expect after your project wraps up? So maybe during your project, they're expecting you to track something. So to track what happens. Thanks, Peter. Roger, over to you. What do you think funders expect once you receive funding, or you can say what did they expect after your project wraps up?
It's kind of for both. So good accounting, making sure you're actually using the money on the line objects that were approved and not just spending money on things that are nothing related to the project.
Yeah, pretty important, hey? So, and that's a big trust thing too, right? Like, it's easy for people to kind of, you know, sometimes you can hide money, you think, well, that's the same, but you need to be upfront with them because that's if you want that relationship to continue. Thanks, Roger. Deanne, is there something that you think that funders expect from you once you receive funding or after your project wraps up that hasn't been mentioned?
So first thing they look for, like, the report. Report and then the follow up, like the funding is going in the right direction or no, and the outcome is coming or no. That's
right. So in a bigger, that's a really good example of perhaps a bigger funding pot that might not be just, you know, here's $5,000 for this, but you know, we have right now through RK a funding agreement with Yukon government to do COVID recovery research. And we've already had to do a full sort of interim report in order to generate part of the money, and then we have to do a final report after. So they may have a system to track, help you track as you go to make sure you're on track, right? Great, thanks. Anne, anything else that you can think of that funders expect once you receive funding or once your project wraps up? And I know you have a lot of experience with this.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I think has some of the biggest impact are the stories, right? Sharing the stories of the project through photos or video, even a phone call or presentation to their organization have so much impact. Like, that's something I really have learned over the years, and it's about what Caroline said, that building relationships, and they, you know, the next time we apply or want to work on a submission, they're like, yeah, you guys did that really cool project last year. It's visual in their head and not just on paper, right? So that's something I think's got lots of power.
Yeah, and those stories make your organization look good, but they also make that funder look good as well. So I think that goes back to the point that Deanne made last time round about sort of, you know, making sure that your funder, your project is associated with that funder or supporter. So you can do that at the beginning, during, and as Anne pointed out at the end. So thanks for that, Anne. David, over to you. Is there something that either you think funders expect once you receive the funding or after your project wraps up, something that hasn't been mentioned already?
Well, unfortunately, recognition is what I put down at the bottom of my sheet, and I didn't hear that somebody had mentioned it before, but that is so important. They, from my experience, they're doing goodwill, and that's how they build goodwill in the community. And the community recognizes that goodwill, and so if they're giving you money, that helps build that community goodwill. By giving them recognition, you're building that long-term trust bond relationship, which we mentioned before. So, I feel recognition, even on a sponsorship page or whatever at the bottom of, you know, a presentation, like Anne was saying, you know, we want to thank our sponsors, la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da, much like you did with the PowerPoint at the beginning, showing the various funders available. Well, those are funders that want their recognition too.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
Thanks, David. Isabel, is there anything else that you can think of to answer either of those two questions? What do funders expect after you get the funding or after your project wraps up?
It's hard to follow all this, and I think pretty much everything has been mentioned already, but accountability, I think, is a big one. If you said you would do something, stick to it, and they don't want you to give the money back.
Yeah,
that's a big one. Pictures, I agree, your condition, it's all good. Everything has been sent in. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's great. And Kayla, anything else that you can think of?
Sorry. One that I think is maybe like even sort of like a pre-recording thing is that if there's anything that you change during your operation of or execution of your grant funding, it's checking with them if you need to make amendments. So maybe not the end, but kind of a middle.
That's awesome. I was just writing that note to point that out, but thank you for raising that, because if you need to change something, you need to communicate that. That's really, really important. And a proposal is a plan. Plans are designed to have some flexibility. I've never, ever written a proposal or a work plan that I've been able to carry out exactly to the T. So that relationship building, that knowing that, you know, you need a bit of flexibility in there, but you need to work with them because they are supporting you. That's really, really important. So thank you, everybody. It's 1 minute after the hour on my computer clock. Only 11 o'clock here in DC, but it's 12 o'clock and lunchtime for the rest of you. So I'm going to wrap up the call. I will stay on a little longer if anyone has any questions. It was so great to have everybody join the call today. Thank you so much. You do have a required learning activity or RLA that's due on Sunday. Some of you have already done it, so thank you. I will give feedback after there's more. But it's also really great. This is an advanced learning event, so I really encourage you to read each other's and comment to each other. Provide suggestions or ask people each other questions, because that's how you're going to learn a little bit more too. So, merci cho, guanatish, merci, Kwana, thank you so much for joining today, and I look forward to reading your RLA and talking to you next week, same time, place.